Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Gambit, part of the Going for Two Live Network. My name is Kyle Senra. I am one of your co-hosts tonight. And then, of course, joining me for this episode is my co-host, Brian. How are you doing, Brian?
Oh, Kyle, I'm doing well. I'm nervously excited for my niece. I'm getting married on Saturday. And as the uncle, I just don't want to dress too poorly for her, but at the same time, dress in comfort. So definitely an interesting weekend.
Well, it's funny because FPC Dynasty League that I know we're in together, we're also drafting Saturday. So I guess that won't be the biggest event for you Saturday. It will clearly be your niece's wedding. Congrats to her and her partner.
Well, thank you. Yeah, definitely the drafting important, and every other weekend that would be my number one thing. But this weekend, I'm going to have to say I'll have to be on the side of my niece. So,
well, good thing it's a slow draft, right?
Exactly. Who knows? It might actually perfectly time itself. So,
yeah. Well, you know what? We're already getting into our topic this week, which is rookie drafts, and I know you and I have. Are in several dynasty leagues, so obviously we were talking about a draft that's upcoming on Saturday. But I know we've both done rookie drafts up to this point. So how many rookie drafts have you completed so far?
Honestly, I'm only in a total of five leagues. I'm not on the heavy end of leagues, so I've done three and have two left.
Okay, I've got six done, and I think that means I have. I guess eight left. That doesn't sound right. Yeah, I guess so. Well, still got a lot of rookie drafts. Not all of them are going to be in the next months. In this month, some of them will be in June, perhaps potentially even later. So, yeah. So six so far. So at least gives us a good sort of look at potential. We can start talking about trends and things we've seen, things we've done as well.
Now, are the majority of your leagues Dynasty, Kyle?
Oh, yeah. I'm strictly just talking Dynasty, those 14. I would say last year I ended up doing about 10 or 11 redraft leagues. I think I'd like to cut that down a little bit this year. So if I can get to 14 and 7 or something, maybe it'll be a little more, 14 and 9. It'll be around that mix somewhere, I think.
Yeah, I know for me, when I had all my redrafts and lucky enough to be in Scott Fish and all that, it's still over 10 leagues for me, which is kind of a sweet spot. Anything more than, I don't know, your number would intimidate me. So that's good that you can keep balance of all that.
I would say I've gradually gone up there. I feel like, I'll say 5 years ago, 2018, I was probably in less than 10 leagues. And I think I've just gradually kind of increased. So I think that's just where we're at now. But like I said, it gives us at least a good little portfolio to kind of look at for our listeners and our viewers here. Of course, and speaking of listeners and viewers, you can find us on the Going for Two Live Network on YouTube, on Twitch, on Facebook. You can also watch videos on Twitter, but unlike those other locations, if you leave us comments on Twitter, we won't be able to see them in our feed. For instance, Jamie over here, the Cleveland connoisseur, saying hello to us. He's on the Going for Two Live YouTube page commenting. Could also be at the Going for Two Discord. We've also got a Going for Two Discord. And so our live shows have its own channel, and you can comment through there as well. So Jamie saying hello to us. Hello, Jamie. I'll be listening, but need to power wash, so speak loud. Okay, I'm going to up the volume, I guess. Or, you can also turn your volume up, Jamie. 15, okay, so and he's got 15 rookie drafts done and 6 left. So his portfolio is even larger than, I guess, both of ours combined.
We could use any input they have, so.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so for Jamie, feel free to comment. But again, anyone who wants to, again, head on over to the Going for Two Live page on YouTube and come join us in the live chat. One more thing before we really get started into topics, we've got, there it is, the nice fancy QR code. And if you scan that QR code or use the promo code GF2, when signing up for Underdog, which is our sponsor. So Underdog Fantasy. And yeah, so if you, again, use the promo code GF2 or scan the QR code, when signing up, they will double your initial deposit up to $100. So if you max out and put in the initial $100, you will then have $200 in your Underdog Fantasy account. And what can you do with at Underdog? Well, I think there's quite a lot. I mean, we're talking drafts, Brian. So best ball drafts are constantly happening. Tons of great prizes to win through these Underdog contests. Some of these best balls, I think, are, you could win $1 million. You can win seven figures. So that's you know, you go from the underdog to the top of the street. That's for sure. If you can win one of those, right?
Oh yeah, you'll be forever remembered for sure.
You might even do your own podcast. But yes, not that you have to not win to do a podcast is clearly with us. But yes, like I mentioned, you can, you know, it's not just fantasy football and best ball drafting, which is of course super fun, but you can enter a variety contest in different sports. You can select higher and lower on game totals or player stats. Or you can do pick'ems for those games, and that could be NHL playoff games. I would say, I think if you sign up right now, you might be able to get in before the Eastern Conference Final Game 1 starts between the Carolina Hurricanes and Florida Panthers. I'd imagine puck drop is like in maybe 10 minutes, so you might be able to rush to get to that one. But of course, the NBA Conference Finals have started. The MLB season is underway. The MLS season is also underway. So yeah, tons of great contests on Underdog Fantasy, so sign up today. Again, promo code GF2 or scan the QR code on screen. So, Brian, here we are talking rookie draft season, right? That's the one of our favorite times of year. But yes, I guess the first question really to ask is, so far in the rookie drafts that we've done, who are the players that we've taken the most? And that's the first thing we can kind of instill to our listeners, or who the players to draft. So who are your most drafted rookies so far, Brian?
Well, I think the one thing that's important, like I said, I've done three drafts. I was in a total of five leagues and three drafts so far. And there, I have no new leagues this year. So my standings, my draft position is all based on last year's standings. I was lucky enough to finish. I have one 14 teamer, and I do have the rest of the four are 12 teamers. So I was lucky enough to draft position seven or later. So that's got to keep that in mind. The one thing I've noticed that in drafts, typically speaking, your top six are going to be your three quarterbacks for sure. Richardson, Stroud, and who am I missing here? Kyle, help me here.
Bryce Young.
And you're also looking at your two running backs, Bijan Robinson. And also you're looking at your second running back off the board, and then you're looking at Jackson Smith and Jigba. So after that, at the seventh spot, what I'm mostly seeing is Jordan Addison. You know, there's an option there. Some people would argue whether Addison would be second behind Jigba. For me, he is. I like the offense, so I like the landing spot. So for me, Jordan Addison's my mostly added player out of the three leagues. So,
hey, a first round wide receiver to be your most rostered guy. I mean, that's great. And it's funny because I think we talk about our most drafted player so far. We do really do walk through all the rounds, and there's a couple running backs you've been able to get in the second round off it seems as well.
Yeah, there are a couple of running backs that I've been able to get, and that's at the 207 that I've been getting. I don't think that Miller is probably available in the majority of the leagues, but he was in some of mine. And then also Roschon Johnson from the Bears. He's been pretty available there at the 207. And I think we talked about it on our last episode, but we're all pretty big fans of Roschon Johnson. Especially, I think about that landing spot there at the 207 was pretty good value, I think. So, Kendry Miller and Roschon Johnson in the second round is kind of what I've been seeing.
I mean, I'll make the argument Kendry Miller should be a late first. So yeah, anytime you can get him in the second, to me, that's I got a lot of Rashad White last year. I think he ended up being my most drafted rookie. And it was a lot of it was I believed Rashad White should be a first round pick. And anytime I had an early to mid second and he fell there, he was like an automatic pick. And it feels like I've seen Kendre Miller fall sometimes to the 207 in leagues. And that was a 14 team league. I was trying to trade up in that second round from the 212. And eventually got to a point where someone just took him and I even tried to trade for him after they drafted them, which I guess that's a cardinal sin you're not supposed to do in fantasy. I do it anyway. I don't care. I don't care what people think. But they clearly liked Miller. It seemed like they weren't just taking him because he was the value. Like they were ecstatic that he fell to them there. So yeah, if you can Addison, Kendre Miller, and Roshan, that's three great rookies to have. So good for you, Brian.
Yeah, I've been happy and lucky. I think that's one thing you have to say. You're talking about the consensus in regards to maybe breaking away from consensus in regards to your picks. I think if you've got a certain player that you like, if you have to pay up just a little bit sometimes, that's okay. Because at the same time, if you've got certain players, you may like them better than consensus. That's okay. If you're going to plant the flag, plant it where you want to. And another player I think I'd like to throw out there for late round value that I've been a little bit surprised with is that the quarterback position, my QB6 has been Jake Haener. I've been able to get him in the fourth round in several spots, and I've kind of been surprised. He's been draft coming off the board at like QB 9 or 10. The one guy that's really well liked is Stetson Bennett. He's been coming off after the traditional five that we all think should be the top five. He's been coming off six in a lot of spots. And like I said, I'm a Haener homer, so I've been getting him in mid to late fours. So
yeah, I'm just gonna go back through some of my drafts and see like where those quarterbacks are going in super flex leagues. I have one league I'm looking at right now where Stetson Bennett went at 306, and then that was it. He was the sixth quarterback off the board, and no other quarterbacks went. So, like, a guy like Jake Haener went undrafted. Another super flex league where Clayton Tune, Jake Haener, and Stetson Bennett all went back-to-back-to-back, 406, 407, 408, as the only other quarterbacks getting outside the top five that were drafted. So, it's all over the place, it seems like, whoever that QB6 is, you can... you may have to reach out, if you want Stetson Bennett, you may have to reach in the third, but otherwise you can probably feel safe in the fourth to take whoever you want.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I feel about Bennett. I mean, he was awesome in Georgia, but I think he's being drafted on his college stats and obviously production. And I don't know where he's going to be in the pros. And I don't know, Haener doesn't have the name, but I really do like him.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about any of those quarterbacks. I haven't really been... I actually have not been taking quarterbacks in these rookie drafts. And we'll get to that in a sec. The one spot I have for Anthony Richardson is actually a one QB league. And just to finish your point on Roshan Johnson, I like him as a mid second. And in that one QB league, I know Gator J, our other co-host who couldn't be here tonight. He's in that league as well. Anyway, it's a 10 team league, but I still thought it was pretty crazy to see Roshan Johnson at the 303. So I thought I got great value on him there, but that's not, a lot of the cases he's been a mid-second round, though, in a lot of drafts.
Yeah, that's great. That's great value to get him the 23rd pick overall. I mean, a lot of value in that pick because we all like his landing spot with the Bears, and he should definitely be in the mix this coming year. So.
And I could say we all like the talent, including Jamie in the comments. I know he's a big Roshan guy. But Jamie spoke into existence. The one player I was going to talk about is, again, running through the rounds here, for Brian, Jordan Addison in the first, Kendre Miller, Roshan Johnson in the second. Someone that I've been taking a lot in the third round, especially late third, is a guy that I've got, I think, three out of six rookie drafts I've drafted him in, so right at 50%. Jamie's got an 8 out of 15 rookie drafts so far, so Evan Hull. So both Jamie and I are pretty high on Evan Hull. I was really high on Evan Hull before the draft. Most would say ridiculously, incredibly crazy high, which, to be fair, RB4, not quite. That was a little overestimation on my part. But because of that, I feel like he's such a value if I can get him. The earliest I've drafted him is 311. So at the 35th overall pick in a draft. And I've seen him go a couple times in the earlier in in the third round. Sometimes I've even seen him fall to the fourth, but I feel like I'm getting him at a good range, 311, 312. One of my most drafted players so far is Evan Hull. I've had him in half my rookie drafts.
And Hull's landed with the Colts, correct?
Yep, exactly. So he's going to be, and I'm wearing the Viridian Global Touchdown Vulture shirt. So he's going to be Jonathan Taylor's Touchdown Vulture this year, isn't he? And it'll just upset me so much because now that Kenneth Walker's fallen, Jonathan Taylor is my RB1 in Dynasty again. He's regained that. Again, maybe that was a little erroneous on my part to raise Kenneth Walker that high. Jamie's saying the earliest he took Evan Hull is 307. So yeah, it's sometimes he'll go a little earlier than you need to in the early third. So just get, you know, better value on players in the late third. But yeah, anything second half of the third round seems like that's the good spot to take him.
Quick question on Hull. He were you as big on him during the regular season games as, I think it was what, Senior Bowl or the Shrine, East-West Shrine game where he became a big riser?
To me, I don't really pay much attention to that. So whenever I started looking at my film grades, but he came out really good. And I think he was right behind Roshan at RB5 in my film grades. So I'd have been doing that in January. So it was probably right around the time of all those bowls. And then, just adding in production. And then certainly when he had a really good combine, it was above 9. He was, I think, RB6 in terms of like combine scores among the drafted running backs. So it sort of maintained him as the top 5 once that happened. But yeah, I guess I've always been high on him ever since just watching the tape, to be honest. And Jamie's saying, you know, sometimes he's taking Evan Hull in the fourth. And that leads me to the guy that I'm taking quite a lot in the fourth. Although, I guess, yeah, the 3 shares I've had of Evan Hull, they've all been the like 30, I think it's between the 35th and 38th pick in the draft. So it's really that late third. And I think the one spot I got him in the fourth was a 10 team and it's 407. So it really does feel more like, really does feel like 401, like the 37th pick. So really thin range where I'm getting Evan Hull. The other rookie I have the most shares of is Bretton Strange, the tight end from Jacksonville. And that's been quite large and wide in terms of where I'm taking him and where he's going. And I think it's all being pushed by what are the tight end settings, specifically a tight end premium for points per reception. So if I look at my 3 shares, the earliest I've gone on Bretton Strange is 306 in a 14-team league. And that is 2 PPR for tight ends. And I think I took him as the tight end 6, or actually maybe even the tight end 7 in the draft. Yeah. Because obviously you had Kincaid and Mayer both go in the first round of that draft. Sam Laporta at the 201, so the 15th pick, the 14-teamer. Shoemaker at the end of the second. Musgrave at the end of the second. Tucker Kraft was 301. Literally, Musgrave is 214, Tucker Kraft 301. So where the tight ends were going, they were all being really pushed up. So it felt like Bretton Strange actually ended up being a value at 306, even though it's the earliest I've taken him. I look at the other couple leagues I'm in, where I did take him, and there's no tight end premium. One's a half PPR, one's a full PPR, but no tight end premium scoring. One I got him at the, actually both leagues I got him at the 408. Yeah, one's a 10 team, one's a 12 team, so not the exact same pick, but when there's no premium, the tight end's being pushed down a little bit, and you can get them late third, early fourth, or mid fourth, as opposed to late second, early third. And I mean, everyone except for those top 3, which those guys, even in non-PPR scoring, Mayer and Laporta are going in the second round. So, I like taking those late shots on that next group, especially Luke Shoemaker, but certainly I've had a lot of Bretton Strange.
It's the real deep tight end class. So you can get some value picks with that for sure. And Jacksonville's really trying to build. Calvin Ridley's coming off of suspension. Then the tight end there that you mentioned. And then Parker Washington. Is it Parker Washington out of Penn State?
Yeah, that's correct. He went to Jacksonville.
So Parker Washington, I've drafted him late in a couple of the early drafts. I kind of like him as a late fourth round option as well. So
I think I drafted him in one league and I'm, picked him up in another off waivers, kind of like Jamie's done here with Bretton Strange, grabbing him off waivers. I think that's good value. If he's, in a 4 round rookie draft and he's still there. Yeah. Go pick him up for sure. Cause you know, he's 1 year away from being the starting tight end. I mean, I think we imagine Evan Engram is going to be, he's going to be highly utilized. He had 98 targets last year. They franchise tagged him. I'd imagine he's probably hovering around that 100 target mark again. And, but then after that, who knows, he might leave as a free agent and, Brenton Strange may take over. And it's, and I think that one, tight end premium league I talked about, taking him at the 306, I do have Evan Engram. So it does lead to, if Engram does leave, that may turn into two starting tight ends in a two PPR for tight ends. So that might be, end up being super useful. And, you know, if Engram stays, then at least I know that I've got Engram tied to Lawrence. I do have Lawrence in that league too. So the stacking with the tight end, if I couldn't get the elite tight ends, may as well stack with one of my quarterbacks.
What, one thing I would like to say, and I could be wrong, but I know all or most of my leagues are on the Sleeper app. And I would imagine a lot of our listeners and us included are probably do a lot of our leagues on the Sleeper. Just keep in mind that the drafts are typically four rounds each, but what you should be looking to do is, there's probably players at the end of last year that have, if you haven't already gotten rid of them, there might be a couple of players like y'all were talking about that you can get off waivers, clean off your roster a little bit for players that are no longer really relevant to you, or perhaps these rookies are more relevant than maybe a second or third year player might be to you. And yeah, just keep it fluid.
Exactly. Just in a league today, we had waivers right after the rookie draft, and like, I was able to get rid of my last shares of Ty Johnson, the running back for the Jets, and Jamal Agnew, and say, okay, let's get those guys off the rostered spreadsheet, and I can erase those names and not have them on this team. So yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's some good spring cleaning to do, as we are still in spring and not summer yet.
Yeah, be sure to look at the depth charts. I mean, they try to keep that pretty much up to date after the draft. So look at that, see if any of your players are buried, then get rid of them.
Yeah, you understand who's third on their depth charts and who's fifth and sixth. So, I mean, Hunter Henry, I mean, that's quite, you know, Jamie saying he dropped Hunter Henry for Brenton Strange in a league he already had Gesicki. I suppose, you know, if it's a tight end's not too much of a premium, I don't mind dropping one. But if it's enough of a tight end premium, I'm sure there's a clogger receiver on the roster I'd rather drop than Henry. So that'll all just depend on the premium. And it's also making a bet, though, that Gesicki outproduces Henry to the point where you don't want Henry at all, and you would just rather run Gesicki. So, you know, that could be a bet that you could win. Might be a bet you could lose too, though, to that point. But Jamie's in enough league, so he probably has Hunter Henry rostered somewhere else. Oh, I mean, he's got Hockenson and Njoku and Gesicki and Woods. At that point, I'm probably fine cutting Gesicki then. You know, Hockenson and Njoku, you had me there. Like, that's a solid tight end room just with those two, let alone throwing in Strange and Woods as like high upside athletic tight ends that could become something. So, you know, if it's tight end premium and you could flex enough tight ends, then it maybe makes sense to have five guys. But if it's, you know, 1.5 premium in a one PPR league for everyone else, or anything lower, I'm probably fine just rostering four tight ends. And even Gesicki is probably cuttable. You know, we got rid of one Patriots tight end, may as well get rid of both.
And that's another nice thing about the Sleeper app, is each one, typically speaking, has about three taxi spots. So you can pick up these rookies and put them in the taxi spot for a year and, you know, let them develop. If they don't develop, cut them next year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely add to roster flexibility. Now, again, our co-host, Gator J, who couldn't be here tonight, he still did a lot of legwork, and because, you know, Gators don't have arms, they have legs. But yeah, a lot of legwork, and created the show sheet for us. So, you know, the questions I'm asking are all kind of coming from him. But he did want to say he's in 20-plus leagues in terms of dynasty leagues and drafting right now. So, he's saying the one thing he's doing everything to not leave his drafts with is get Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And to him, he's willing to trade up, it seems like, to the 105 and get that top five pick secure that you can make sure to get him. So it sounds like, and maybe in a couple of weeks, Gator will be back and we'll be able to talk about this, but it sounds like he'd prefer to have Jaxon Smith-Njigba over Jahmyr Gibbs, which I've seen happen in some leagues. I feel like it's, the expectation kind of going into rookie draft, a lot of podcasts I listened to, a lot of people were like, oh, you lock in Gibbs at the 105. I haven't exactly seen that in my rookie drafts. And we could now start talking about not just the moves we're making, Brian, but like what we're seeing overall in our rookie drafts. And have you noticed that? Like, have you noticed a lot of JSN going ahead of Gibbs, or does it seem like in your leagues, a lot of people think that way where Gibbs has to be locked in as the 105?
In my leagues, typically speaking, it's Gibbs at the 105. In fact, surprisingly, in one of the three leagues that I've already drafted in, Gibbs was actually the 102.
Oh, was it a super flex?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I was shocked as much as you are, but yeah, he actually went ahead of all three quarterbacks. So
I've done two 1QB rookie drafts, and he was the 102 in both of those. Strange enough, like I've seen JSN almost exclusively as the wide receiver one, except in one of those 1QB leagues. It's a multiverse league. And this year it's heavily guarded on the wide receivers. So no surprise after Robinson Gibbs, it was those four first round wide receivers. But the order they went in was strange because Zay Flowers actually went at the 103 and then JSN. But other than that, I've seen Jaxon Smith-Njigba as the first wide receiver in a 10 team super flex, and it's salary cap and contract leagues. He actually went as the 104 ahead of CJ Stroud and Gibbs. So that was maybe a little surprising to see that. But yeah, I've seen half of the rookie drafts I've done, JSN has gone ahead of Gibbs. So it doesn't seem like at least in the leagues I'm in, that same mentality that Gibbs has to be ahead of all those receivers. So some people still do value. Jamie said he saw JSN go 102 at a superflex rookie draft. So it seems like there are still people convicted about Jaxon Smith-Njigba and they're willing to take him.
Really. I think to me, a lot of it has to depend upon what your running back room looks like and what your wide receiver room looks like. If you're really deep at wide receiver, you might not go JSN, and or vice versa. If you're really deep at running back, you might not go with Gibbs. So I think they're 50-50 coin flip, just preference there. But like I said, I was shocked when Gibbs went at the 1.02 for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be more surprising in a super flex to see Gibbs go 102 or Jaxon Smith-Njigba 102. I think I wouldn't be doing either. Because to me, Brian, I don't know about you, but I've seen more than I expected Anthony Richardson and even one case Bryce Young going at the 101. So this idea that even we could talk about Bijan, like, you know, talk about Gibbs, you know, should be locked in ahead of those receivers. I think we talked a lot about Bijan as the 101. He's our thumbnail logo, but I think about half my rookie draft so far, he hasn't been the 101. It's been a
while. Well, yeah, I've not seen Bijan yet not go.
Okay. So, and that'll depend on the league. I know in one particular league, the manager, it was 8-hour clock and used up, I think, about 7 hours negotiating trades to try to trade down. And just was, you know, come buy Bijan, everyone. Come buy Bijan. And I think was almost bluffing it too hard. Ultimately just took Anthony Richardson. Clearly did not want Bijan, thought he could trade out of that, and kind of realized he wasn't necessarily getting that value. So Bijan as this locked-in value guy may not be the case in every league. And now that's irrelevant to me because I in our FPC Dynasty League, as we already mentioned, that's coming up Saturday, I do have the 101. So I know our next question, Brian, and topic we're going to get to is, who are the rookies you're fading? We know which ones we've targeted so far, and we've gotten lots of shares of, but who are the ones you haven't drafted any yet? And then we could make, and maybe that, because that could be two different things. Like, who haven't you drafted and who are you fading? I mean, obviously, if you're fading someone, you're not drafting them, but just because you haven't had someone doesn't necessarily mean you're fading them either. You just may have not, like you mentioned, you've got a lot of 107s, which is why you have so much Addison. But I guess to me, I've got the 101 and I don't have any Bijan yet technically, but my plan has been to take Bijan, feel safe enough at quarterback, really want to increase my team. And so I'm pretty sure I'm going to go Bijan there. But yes, so I guess I'll get a Bijan chair even if I don't have one yet, but we can talk about Brian. So if you want to start off, who do you not have any shares of?
Well, I'm kind of still on your thunder here. Based on our show sheet, we have one player that's exactly the same, and that's Will Levis.
That's the guy I'm fading. I don't have any shares, and I'm actively fading him. Yes, I agree.
He's being drafted somewhere between the 108 and the 111, and I'm just not I don't know. I'm just not a huge fan of Will Levis. I mean, he's fine, but I don't think he deserves to be a top 11 pick.
I think 211. That's the range he should be going, and I have not seen him fall anywhere close to that yet. So yeah, way too rich for my blood.
Yeah, I mean the Titans, I mean, as a passing offense, they've never been outstanding here over the last several years. So it'd be hard for me to expect him to have a great pro career. You never can tell, but at this point in time, I'm not high on him.
So. We haven't seen them develop a wide receiver either. We saw them draft, like AJ Brown kind of fell a little bit in that draft. They got him, you know, in the late second round of the NFL draft. You know, really the Patriots should have taken him instead of N'Keal Harry, for instance, but that's beside the point. But, you know, he turned out to be amazing, but it doesn't seem like they developed him to be amazing. He was always just that good. And you know, as he grew in the league, he got better. But I mean, so far they really haven't, of all the other players they've drafted, we can talk Doriel Green Beckham. And I mean, so far Treylon Burks hasn't done much. That wide receiver room doesn't look promising. So from a passing offense standpoint, that the future doesn't look super bright for Will Levis in terms of the ceiling. And I mean, there is a second round pick. I know it's early second round pick, but if things go so bad for Tennessee and they're in the top 10, it doesn't preclude them from drafting another quarterback and Will Levis being buried. So I think there's tons of risk with him and not really ready to take on that risk. In the, you know, you're saying 108, like that's, to me, that's a mid first round pick, technically. If we, you know, if we're splitting into segments of four, you know, early is through 104, 10, you know, the 105 Gibbs JSN range, that's where we'd consider mid. To me, that still should be first round wide receivers. Like, I really don't get taking Levis there, to be honest.
No, I mean, I would rather have any of the top four wide receivers over Levis at this point in time.
So that's the player we're fading. Jamie's got a few fades. So Quentin Johnson, Rashee Rice at wide receiver, also Tajay Spears at running back, Luke Musgrave at tight end, and Bryce Young at quarterback. That's interesting. We'll get to Young in a second, but what do you think of those fades for Jamie? And I think the one thing I've heard about Quentin Johnson, I'll start with, Brian, is the hands. I know some people that I trust evaluation wise, that's where there's suspect is he does a lot of body catching, not a lot of hands catching. That could be a real struggle in the NFL to make that transition. So I'm guessing I've seen a few people who would say they'll take Zay Flowers ahead of Quentin Johnston. And obviously I think we both agree Addison and JSN over Quentin Johnston. And I don't have any Johnston's shares yet. I know there's a rookie draft coming up where I've got the 108. Maybe for the sake of diversification, I think I might go Johnston if he falls there. And then that way I'd have one share of all four of them, JSN, Addison, Johnston, and Flowers. So if I've spread out my exposure. If they all hit, great. If one of them fades, it's only going to affect me in one league. So I might do that. Yeah, so far that might be the only spot I get Quentin Johnston. But what do you think of the concerns about his hands as a reason to fade? And I assume that's maybe there's more reasons than that for Jamie, because the landing spot's awesome with Justin Herbert. But if he can't catch the ball, that's a big concern. Doesn't matter who his quarterback is.
Well, that's the one thing also about the Chargers. They, despite having several good wide receivers on the roster, they took Johnston, but then they took another. I know one player they took was pretty much, when we were talking about him during the draft, was more of a kick returner type player. But didn't they also pick another receiver late in the draft too?
Yeah, and I can't remember his name, but I think it was that it's a Joe Reed replacement, like special teamer.
I was kind of surprised they picked multiple receivers in the draft, considering what they already had on board. So,
are they thinking he carries wide receiver designation, but he's going to contribute more on special teams than offense, and also B though, you know, how much longer Allen and Williams on this team? Let's have a depth. Like even last year, there were times where both were injured and they were forced to start DeAndre Carter and Josh Palmer, right? Like they maybe want to insulate themselves. So that's Joe Reed's on the Bears. So the Bears want a special teamer. But back to Jamie's original comment of the fading. The one thing I'll say is Rashee Rice. I mean, honestly, once we get past those first round wide receivers, like the late first to the late second, it's the Wild West, man. Like stuff happens that, like, even just who's the wide receiver five in rookie drafts for you? Have you seen one guy go as the wide receiver five every time? because I really haven't, to be honest. I've seen, I think, four other different receivers aside from the first main four go in the first round of rookie drafts at points.
Who is your current wide receiver five, Kyle?
Well, it's funny because my wide receiver five is Jaden Reed, and he's the one guy that I haven't seen go as the wide receiver five. I've seen Rasheed Rice go 107 in a 1QB league. I've seen Jonathan Mingo go 109. I've seen Marvin Mims at the end of the first. Usually, I think the guy I've seen mostly as the wide receiver five in rookie drafts has been Jonathan Mingo, and he was the fifth receiver taken in the NFL draft, so I get the example there. But yeah, the one guy I want the most there, Jaden Reed, is not going as the wide receiver five. That's the one thing I haven't seen, which is funny. And it seems like Jamie kind of agreed with me. He's saying Reed or Mims. And I think I have Reed at five, Mims at six, in terms of those rookie receiver rankings. But yeah, just to Jamie's point of fading Rasheed Rice, I mean, I'm certainly fading him in the first round, like, but I also haven't seen him go in the first round every time. Sometimes it's a round later, and like he's the 207 instead of the 107, and I like him at that price. So the fade on Rasheed Rice will be dependent on league, I think, more than flat out fading him. Again, I wouldn't fade Will Levis if he falls to 211, but he's just not going there at all.
No, he won't be there. Maybe he deserves to be, but he's not going to be. But yeah, I guess my 105 is, I mean, my number five receiver is Mims.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk him up. I mean, the Broncos spent an early pick on him, and it's the first pick of the Sean Payton regime since they didn't have a first. I think that they, I don't even remember what they spent the first on. Russell Wilson. Right. Yeah. So yeah, I guess sometimes Reed and Mims fall to the late second, where you're not really seeing Rice and Mingo necessarily fall to late second. They'll be usually early to mid second, if not, again, first round. Back to Jamie's fade list, though. Luke Musgrave's an interesting one. He probably is the tight end I'm fading the most. In my tight end rankings, he's tight end six. But it feels like six and seven is tied between the two Packers tight ends. And Tucker Kraft's going... Sometimes he's going super close, but most drafts I've seen, he's going significantly later, sometimes a full round later than Musgrave. So yeah, I have no Musgrave, and I don't think I really want to. Some people are taking him at like the tight end two or tight end three in some rookie drafts. So like that's, I'm saying tight end six right now. I'd rather have Breton Strange than Luke Musgrave. And maybe, if I was forced to make that decision right now, I might take Musgrave just to get, diversify since I already have so much Strange, but that's, yeah, I'm fading Musgrave at his price for sure.
So as a Packers fan, why are you fading Musgrave?
Oh, just too early. I'd rather get Luke Schoonmaker personally. And I like the quarterback he's tied to a lot more, Dak Prescott, than Musgrave is with Jordan Love. And the confusion of Tyler Kraft and the talk right now, and I just actually recorded the most recent Full Press Packers pod episode today. It hasn't been released yet. Plan to release tomorrow. But my co-host Jesse Hall was talking about that right now. The talk at rookie minicamps is Tucker Kraft seems like he's further along than Musgrave because of the blocking and a more pro style offense. And so that Tucker Kraft's transition could be easier and Musgrave might end up not producing as much. So I think to me, they should be going right around the same place in draft. And I remember one draft I saw, it was that 14 team two PPR tight end premium. Musgrave went 214, Tucker Kraft 301. That's one of the few instances I've seen them go back to back, but for a lot of cases, they're sometimes around different. So to me, I don't really see much of a difference between them. Both are great athletic freaks. Like they're I think the fourth and fifth highest RAS scores of all tight ends. Zach Kuntz was one, and he was a seventh round pick, so he almost doesn't count. So, it's Schoonmaker, it's Darnell Washington, and then it's those two. But I still just feel like Musgrave's going too early.
A lot of people are selecting Darnell Washington not pretty high in my drafts.
Yeah, I've seen him sometimes fall to the third. Usually in the third, but yeah, you're right. There are some times where he's sometimes going way ahead of Schoonmaker. Again, I'm all on Schoonmaker as the tight end three in the class. Like personally, I'd rather have him than Michael Mayer. Now, and I think you could get Schoonmaker so much later than Mayer. So Michael Mayer would be one guy to add to the fade list because, sometimes he's going ahead of Laporta as well. And I don't agree with that. So,
no, I'm not, I'm on Laporta over Mayer for sure.
like I mentioned, sometimes you see Mayer going in the first round of tight end premium leagues. Like that's so that would be one last guy I'd add to the fade list. But Bryce Young is interesting. I'm not fading Bryce Young, but I have zero shares of him. And I think part of it is what we were talking about earlier, Brian, where we're making picks, right? And I did have one league, salary cap contract league. It's funny. This is the spot where JSN went 104. It's a 10 team. So even though it's super flex, less QB scarcity because less teams. And because of that, I had the 102, 104, and I felt like I wasn't going to take JSN 104. If forced to make both those picks, I was going to take two quarterbacks. But I ended up trading out both of the picks essentially to get Justin Jefferson. And so what I've done in a couple spots, I had a 105 in a league, and I traded it to get Devontae Smith and I think a second thrown in or an extra player. I can't remember what it is. So where I've had a lot of these top five picks, there's the one spot where I'm planning to take Bijan Robinson on Saturday. But other than that, I've kind of traded out of my top five picks. So as a result, I don't have any Young, I don't have any Stroud, and I don't have any Jahmyr Gibbs. So those are the three most, you know, top ranked players that I don't have any shares of right now. I got one share of Anthony Richardson in a one QB league where he fell to the 210. But so we can talk about paint. Okay, so Jamie's talking here. This is funny. Paint Bryce Young blue and try to tell him apart from a Smurf. Now, he could probably throw a football better than any Smurf can in history, to be fair. It's just why he was the first overall pick in the NFL draft. But yes, again, I'm not fading Young, but again, I don't have any shares and I'm not really looking to overspend on Young. What do you feel about really those quarterbacks? Like, have you gotten any shares of those quarterbacks at all? Richardson, Stroud, or Young?
I would like to, but in my draft spot, I haven't been able to. And I haven't, I'm not the kind of guy that goes hog wild trading stuff to try to get in the top five. I'm the kind of player that I'll stay where I'm at unless there's just a, you know, a really good deal that I can make a trade on and let things play out that first few weeks, or even if I have to wait till next year, whatever. I don't over the barrel kind of trader. So,
well, it's funny because before, you know, one of the things I first did when the new leagues reset and the draft orders set and all that, I went to every league and tried to trade for the 101. And I sent out a ton of offers in certain leagues, and I managed to get one done. And so a lot of leagues, it was a lot of those diamond handing that for that 101, and most managers were not parting with them. So shout out to Yeti, the one person I managed to make a trade with, because he I think part of it, he really needed a tight end. Noah Fant was his tight end one, I believe. And so I traded Dalton Schultz and the 105 for the 101 and Noah Fant. So he got that tight end upgrade, but he still maintains a top five pick. So I think that's important. I believe you have the 104. So unfortunately, he's going to be behind you. We'll see if you end up with one of those quarterbacks there at 104, because I don't know exactly what you were thinking. If that's a spot you got Gibbs or JSN, or if it's quarterback all the way. And you don't have to reveal anything, of course.
Oh, in our FPC league?
Yeah, exactly. Just curious.
Yeah, I don't remember what – I haven't looked to see where draft spot I'm at. Am I at the 104?
I thought so. I thought I was looking today, and I'll bring it up now, but I thought you were at the 104. And yeah, you were. I think, slated during the season to be the 104, and I kind of went on the push at the end of the season and, you know, moved myself up to the 105. You're actually Gator Jay's picking 103, so we know that'll be Anthony Richardson if he even falls there. Dan's got the 102, the B league, and we'll see. I'd imagine he takes a quarterback.
I'm gonna get Stroud or Young, so
so at least you get one share of those quarterbacks. Like you said, you haven't had any yet. Now, I'm not fading Young, but I do have a concern about Young relative to I'd rather have Stroud over Young. Jamie saying the size, I mean, to a certain extent, that concerns me, but only a little bit. My bigger concern with Stroud is actually the Panthers GM. And shout out to Eric Vanek, who was watching a lot of press conferences after the first round and stuff. And the Panthers mentioned that they liked the luxury of drafting Mingo in the second because they don't have to pay him like they would a first round wide receiver necessarily, even the rookie pay scale, but certainly what that means after the fact, second contract. And it sounds like one of the reasons that the trade with the Bears worked so well is maybe not even the Bears insisting on getting DJ Moore. I think that was clearly a priority for them. And I think the Panthers seemed really eager and willing to let him go. And the manager, the general manager of the Panthers mentioned it. They don't want to pay wide receivers in this market. They'd rather pay the other positions, pay the offensive line, pay cornerbacks, pay your pass rush. And, you know, once Bryce Young's rookie contract's done, pay him. But it sounds like they're not ever going to surround him with elite wide receivers unless they get lucky and hit on one. So that concerns me a little bit for Bryce Young's long-term future. Anthony Richardson right now is tied to Michael Pittman. I mean, do they extend him beyond his rookie contract? I don't love the current wide receiver room of the Houston Texans, but it also doesn't seem like they're opposed to paying a big one if they can get the big fish. But it sounds like Carolina is almost actively not going to target elite wide receivers, and that kind of concerns me a little bit for Young and his ultimate upside, because you need the talented receivers to throw to get that touchdown upside.
Yeah, in my spot at the 104, and my pick may already be made for me unless somebody goes in Jigba or Gibbs. So
yeah, I think if I was in your position and he was at 104, even with these concerns about the receivers, I'd still take him. Just to, you know, the value of quarterback is so great. Unless it's a Bijan level prospect, yeah, I agree. I'd want the quarterbacks.
And I was lucky enough in last year's rookie draft to get Kenneth Walker, and I already have McCaffrey on my team, so that's not my weak spot for sure.
Right. I remember you and I were talking a lot about McCaffrey trade potential, and yeah, ultimately never got done. I traded for Jonathan Taylor instead. So now I can pair Bijan and JT, have my Dynasty RB1 and my Dynasty RB2, while my Dynasty RB3, McCaffrey probably outscores both anyway. So congrats.
Yeah, so I think my wide receiver room's not bad from memory. Like I said, I've with everything that's been going on, I haven't looked at it exceedingly closely, but I try to maintain what's going on.
Well, it's funny because I have sent you an offer to try and get Terry McLaurin. So you clearly, I mean, you've got Terry McLaurin in there, but I know you've got a few other receivers. I think Christian Watson. I think you have Dotson as well. And I think that was why I'm targeting McLaurin, thinking, well, if he's got both Washington receivers, maybe he's more willing to part with McLaurin. So
you do have an offer. And I've got Waddle on as well. So it seems like I have a decent wide receiver.
Yeah, that's the premier receiver you want. I probably haven't sent an offer for Waddle because that's just a little too rich for my blood probably.
Yeah, for a team I took over, it's not that bad. So
no, definitely had some good pieces involved. Some elite assets in that you know.
Let's just say it looks better now than it did a year ago.
Well, I think that's kudos to a good manager for managing it properly.
So we'll see what happens with that 104. Maybe get a little better quarterback and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I think you would have taken Walker at the 102, right? So you've moved up two spots anyway.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Now, I guess, so the one question, so I think a lot of what you and I wanted to talk about was that, like, who are our most drafted rookies, but also who are the rookies we're fading? Now, a couple of Gator Jays questions that he threw in here. So I'll just read it off as he wrote it to us. So how much do you look back after all your drafts are finished and you say, you know, you see your share percentage and think, oh no, I have too many shares of this player, or, oh no, I don't have enough shares of this player. So is there a point where you are, you know, saying either of those things, you have too many shares or not enough shares? And I guess, is there a specific percentage for what that threshold is?
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, I don't necessarily have like a target share or have like a share of a player I'm trying to look for. The worst thing is, at this point in time, whether you're Bryce Young or, in all honesty, Bijan Robinson, we all assume the top players are going to pan out. But there are players that have been, you know, I'm sure Ryan Leaf, if we had rookie drafts back then, would have been, oh, I got to have a certain percentage of Ryan Leaf. Well, nobody would have wanted him a few months later, or certainly a few years later. So I never have a target share because you don't know who's going to pan out and who's not. So I kind of just go with what I think's the best player. And if I'm the one who did the evaluation and the draft spot to me was the best opportunity at the time, then I let it play out for whether it's for that first few months or that first year. and then adjust after that. That's just my personal preference. I'm not going to overpay for anything.
Yeah, I think in rookie drafts, I don't look too much as, oh, I have too much of this rookie. Because if I feel like I'm taking a late shot at a guy, give me him as many leagues as possible, because then I can trade him in as many leagues if I really do think he'll hit. And it'll, you know, like on a Breton Strange right now, I can trade him in two leagues and still hold on to a share. I think I'm maybe more concerned when, like, I'm looking right now. I've got a JSN share, I've got an Addison share, I got a Flowers share. So knowing I think it's Dynasty Trades HQ 2, where I've got the 108, that might be where Quentin Johnston falls. And, you know, that's a bit of a tight end premium. I think it's only 1.25, but it might be that someone takes Kincaid at 107 and leaves me with Addison and Johnston. And even though I have Addison in my rankings one spot ahead, I might go to get Johnston simply because I want to share. I don't want to have zero shares of a player. So I would think in rookie drafts, that's maybe where I'd be more concerned, is having zero. And I mean, if I have zero shares, I have zero shares, right? I don't feel like I have to roster every single player in the NFL. There'll be some players I won't have. I can always trade for them in future years too. Just because I'm missing out on rookie drafts doesn't mean I'm never going to roster them either. So I won't go out of my way to trade just to make sure I get a share of a player. But I will say I potentially pay more attention to who I don't have, as opposed to do I have too many shares. Like at this point, if I have to max out and take more shares of Evan Hull, that's fine. I'll keep drafting Evan Hull. If you keep letting him fall to the end of the third, I'm perfectly fine with that. But I will say though, and this is not even rookie drafts, this is more just dynasty portfolio, I kind of don't want to have anyone at higher than 50%. I think there's not one player I want to roster on the majority of my teams. I'd rather keep it to that. So I really have that hard cutoff of 50% for any player. Now you're probably never going to hit close to 50% on the elite players, right, Brian? Just because you have so few chances to acquire them, but it's the guys you're picking up off waivers for free. Like if, you know, my most rostered dynasty player right now, I'm pretty sure is Deion Jackson. And I definitely did not draft him in a single rookie draft, but I've just been picking him up for free in so many spots but even then, I think I only have 5 or 6 shares out of 14 leagues. So I still don't want to get to that 50% necessarily, but it's easier to get those like a Keontae Ingram or a Jerome Ford. Actually, yeah, there you go. What Jamie just said. I think Jerome Ford's one of my five most rostered running backs. He's got him in 12 leagues. And what did Jamie say? I think Jamie's got about over 20 leagues. So, you know, he might be approaching the 50%. So, I think if you're going to get above 50% on players, you want it to be the super cheap ones that are easy to acquire on every single team. Because A, they're easy to cut if something goes wrong. But B, like, how many of them can you shotgun sell for thirds that you just picked up off waiver when the opportunity comes? And that's how many extra thirds you just get. It's so hard, you know. I think, Brian, if you could have Patrick Mahomes on every single dynasty team, you'd do that, right?
Well, yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, if you can get Patrick Mahomes or Justin Jefferson, I mean, is 100% ownership a bad thing? Well, no, but, I mean, you're not the only one that's trying to get him.
So. The cost to acquire them is so great that it's you know, I mean, you, like a guy like Mahomes, you almost have to take him in the startup because very rarely is he traded. I've seen a couple of Jefferson trades this year in my leagues. I've participated in a couple myself. I mentioned that, like, had to give up the 102 and 104 in a rookie draft to make it happen. Another league, I actually sold Jefferson for Jamar Chase in the 308. And it's a league where Juwan Johnson's my main tight end. And that's what I think most people want is their backup tight end, not their starting tight end. And you look at like my backup tight ends behind him suck. And that 308 allowed me to get Luke Schoonmaker. I've been talking about him, and that was the one spot I was able to get him in. I've got Dak at QB in that Superflex league as well. So it gives me a stack with one of my QBs. If, you know, right now I'm fine with Juwan Johnson for this year, but if Luke Schoonmaker develops into something, that's great. And, you know, as much as I love Jefferson, I was able to get Chase and potentially my starting tight end. I thought that was a fantastic deal. And again, back to the 0%, this was my first Jamar Chase dynasty share. I had not had him in any of my dynasty leagues up to this point. I think I had him in a couple of redraft leagues last year, but to get a Chase share in dynasty is great. I already had, and I traded for another Jefferson share. So I'm not going from know, zero Chase and then zero Jefferson. Instead, it was technically two Jefferson, zero Chase, and I've evened them out. So I still have one of each, but and I was still able to get an extra bonus on top. So sometimes you just kind of look for those edges too.
And the important thing is you wanted a share of those players, but at the same time, you weren't willing to overpay for them.
If you're in enough leagues, you can find the right league where it makes sense to go pay for them as cheaply as possible.
There's always the right trade market, typically. I mean, you may or may not find it, but you're not going to just completely blow your team just to say, oh, I've got Justin Jefferson, I mean, or Ja'Marr Chase or any other player.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so I guess the next question we can talk about is one of these comments, I think we're talking about rostering players. It's also the time. And I think, I don't know if you wrote this, maybe Gator J wrote this, but like the time to overpay for players, right? There's a certain time where you're more likely to do so. And this is not that time, though.
Yeah, that was Jay. About the first 5 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, in season though, right? Like you're, you know, week five, you've seen a whole month of football and you could kind of judge with like, that's when you want to be overspending, paying multiple picks to go get a player. Like I will say that the league where I had Jefferson and trade him for Chase, I acquired Justin Jefferson last year, kind of around this time of year, I gave up 3 firsts to go get him. Or I think it was during the rookie draft or just before the rookie draft. So it might even been earlier than this, but yeah, right around this time of year, gave up 3 firsts for Jefferson. The thinking was, you know, buying a quarterback in Superflex or buying one of these elite receivers. And I mean, elite, I mean like Jefferson and Chase, like those are really the only types of pieces I want to be buying this far out. Most times, like I don't want to be going to buy Christian McCaffrey this time of year. You know, if I see Christian McCaffrey get through a month of the season, okay. And he's still going good, no signs of injury. That's when I'm more willing to pay for it. But you know, if I pay for McCaffrey now, I have to hope he doesn't get hurt through training camp and then hope, you know, through each week of the season until we get to the playoffs. Really, you want to wait, you know, can you scramble by and get to the playoffs? And then once you know you're going to be in the playoffs, that's when you send your first and that's when you're trying to build up to buy players for the last half of the season.
Especially last year at this time when McCaffrey had been off the year before most of it and his value, I would say his value now, you got a little more certainty. He's likely to stay healthy than he did last year at this point in time. So it was kind of a crapshoot last year in regards to health.
Well, yeah. And I mean, there's so much unknown at this point too, right, at this time of year. Just another comment from Jamie. During a rookie draft, he traded Trey Sermon and the other San Francisco running back, he thinks Mostert, and the 306, which was Freiermuth, just to get Ja'Marr Chase. Wait, I'm sorry. You traded Trey Sermon, Raheem Mostert, and Pat Freiermuth for Ja'Marr Chase? Your league mates must despise you. So that's how he pays for condos with cash. He wins all his leagues like this. That's where he's making all his money. That makes sense.
At one point in time, though, Trey Sermon was the next big thing.
Oh, yeah. He was the guy that went in the first rounds that shouldn't have gone in the first rounds, for sure. He was that year's version of Keyshawn Vaughn.
Yep.
So is that Will Levis this year?
Probably.
Or Zach Charbonnet? Because I've seen him go in the first round of some leagues.
Oh, that I guess that was one guy that we had talked about fades. I had Charbonnet and also the one out of Texas A&M.
A-Chain.
A-Chain, yeah. I had both of those as fades versus Kendry Miller.
Well, and I'd rather have Kendry Miller than both. I would argue, I think I'd rather have Roschon than Charbonnet just because of the landing spot.
Same here.
I also had a higher film grade on Johnson than Charbonnet. So like just my natural instinct, I think Roschon Johnson's a better running back than Charbonnet. Now, Charbonnet had a better combine and clearly better production because Roschon being behind Bijan and kind of limited his production. So that's why my pre-draft rankings, Charbonnet did rise for me, but you know, my initial instinct was Roschon is the better running back like that. So got to trust my gut more sometimes.
The now, other thing I really like about Roschon when I looked into him a little bit more is the limited carries he had at Texas. I think one thing that people don't think about this shelf life running backs is limited to begin with. And I have a tendency to believe the ones that got fewer carries in college, you're going to have an opportunity to have more carries in the pros. I mean, just rational thinking to me.
I think it'll depend, because I think Christian McCaffrey had quite the college workload, used a lot as a runner and a receiver, and he's smashed, and he's been probably the best running back. You know, if you've had him since 2017, it's probably the best running back wins over replacement difference maker. Maybe Austin Eckler is right there. Like, those two have kind of smashed completely for the last half decade.
Well, the only thing that sucks about McCaffrey is he's missed parts of two chunks of two seasons. So,
yep,
his carries have been, even though you wouldn't think about it, his carries in the pros have been somewhat limited due to injury. So there's
the drawback, right? Jonathan Taylor had a huge college workload. First 2 years was fine, but then we saw it come to fruition last year. Now, did he get hurt last year simply because in 2021 he had like 390 touches or something? Maybe that was all, regardless of what he did in college, that was the fall off. And like McCaffrey, you know, again, I think that was a 400 plus touch season in 2019. Suddenly he gets hurt in 2020, right? So that might have more to do with touches in the pros than college. So I tend not to worry about it too much. But if you do, to your point, Brian, that would be a plus for Roshan.
So yeah, if I think player A and player B are equally talented, but player A had less touches in the college ranks, I'd rather go with player A. That's just personal opinion.
So we'll end here, I think, with one last question. Is who's a player that you find, like maybe not even you, but potentially you, but also you see a lot of your league mates getting as a good value late in drafts? Probably fourth round we're talking. I know you've mentioned Jake Haener. If you want to keep talking about him, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Jake Haener. I mean, like I said, he's my QB6. I've seen him drafted more like QB9 or 10, which doesn't make sense because I think in the actual draft itself, he was a QB6. But a guy like Stetson Bennett's getting more love in these rookie drafts, or seems to be. So Haener's one guy that I like. But there's also, in late fourth round, there seems to be a lot of – the wide receiver room seems to be – the room that has the most value that I'm kind of excited about for fourth round picks. There's several guys that I think you can go to, and that provide value. We've already mentioned one with the Jaguars, which is I'm having a mental blank here on
Parker,
the guy.
Parker
Washington, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think he's a good value for sometimes I think fourth round in the right types of leagues, but other times I got to pick him up as even a waiver wire pickup after drafts.
And then I like Puka.
Nacua?
Yeah. Puka Nacua. He's with the Rams. He seems like he's going to get an opportunity to get some upside. Cause honestly speaking, who's out there for the Rams besides Cooper Kupp himself? Not much. And they say that Nacua actually, it's a lot like Robert Woods. They ran a lot of wide receiver reverses and that type thing in college. So he could be a replacement for Robert Woods. So I like him. And then the guy for the Bears from Cincinnati, I like him as well.
Tyler Scott, right?
Yeah, Tyler Scott. I think he provides value. So, in that fourth round, mid to late round, I like those three wide receivers personally.
I will say I'm jealous of leagues, and it's not every league because I've seen sometimes where he is a third round pick, but that it's actually a similar case to what Jamie's saying in the comments here. Seeing Cedric Tillman fall to the fourth in some rookie drafts, you'll see him a lot in the third round. So the instances where he falls to the fourth, it's such a great value. Was Tillman a third round pick as well? Another third round NFL draft pick was Tank Dell, Nathaniel Dell from the Houston Texans. And I think it's the same thing where sometimes you'll see him in the maybe even early third, but I've noticed a couple drafts where he's going to the fourth. So like to me, that's been great value on those managers that managed to get him there.
And yeah, then, if you can get Dell or Tillman in the fourth, those are both great value. But I think the important thing to notice here is most everybody we're talking about is wide receivers. And that's one thing that I like about drafting wide receivers later is they really make great trade options, whether it's part of a package deal or whatever. But there's shelf life and all that's typically longer than running back. So I think wide receivers really make great trade value.
If you're targeting rebuilding teams, you can trade your rookie wide receivers for older productive veterans at kind of a good discount. So especially if your plan is to, as a contender, draft these rookie wide receivers, you almost want to be flipping them early because they it'll take so long for them to return value. Jamie's mentioning Charlie Jones, another wide receiver, as you know, free in every draft. So basically after the rookie drafts or fourth round pick. I will say my typical strategy is try and hammer the running backs in the fourth round or late thirds, which is why I've got so much Evan Hull. Chris Rodriguez is someone I'm starting to gain some shares of as well.
Yeah, I mean, I like Rodriguez. What do we think's going on with Antonio Gibson there?
Well, I think the signs are they'll move on from Gibson after his rookie contract. They're probably not going to sign him to a second contract. And then you've got Robinson and Rodriguez, who kind of fit similar molds. Early down grinders, you know, Robinson has some pass catching upside, but a lot of cases, like, you expect a lot of rushing attempts and good high potential touchdown upside for both. So they'll kind of center their running back room around that type of build. So not necessarily room where they're throwing much their running back. And I think they'll use Gibson while they have him because he holds value. But I mean, unless, you know, the Lions just traded Swift. So is a team willing to give Washington a 24 fourth for Gibson? They may move on, but I could also see them just say, we're going to ride out Gibson and it'll be a 1 year kind of headache for Brian Robinson. But ultimately, it you know, maybe Robinson gets more of a pass catching role in 2024 once Gibson presumably leaves out as a free agent. That would be my take anyway. I mean, if maybe Gibson struggles and he's not as valued on the open market, maybe Washington ends up offering the best price. So who knows?
When is the end of Gibson's rookie contract? This coming year or one more?
I believe so. Yeah, because he would be just kind of – that's why I said DeAndre Swift, because they're all 2020 backs. So this would be their fourth year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the only one who is eligible for a fifth-year option. So so Jonathan Taylor's rookie contract is ending after this year. J.K. Dobbins, Cam Akers, A.J. Dillon, right? So there's quite a lot of those 2020 backs that may be changing teams. Because, I mean, the Eagles traded for Swift, but they haven't extended him or anything. So he might leave as a free agent, too, after.
It's going to be a nice free agent class.
It will be. Now, does anyone actually want to sign any of these guys, though, right? So we'll find out. I know the 2017 running back class really tested the limits, and a lot of those guys got second contracts. And what has happened is they've almost outlasted, in some cases, some of these 2020 backs even. So it's looking more like that 2017 class is the last class that's really going to be treated like that, because it seems like it really was a true difference-making running back class. Like, it was almost a generational running back class. Not just, I mean, you have a generational player like McCaffrey, but Kamara, Cook, Mixon, Kareem Hunt for a while there, Austin Eckler, like all these 2017 guys kind of came out and lasted so long that they kind of, the landscape was them. There's a couple of years where, you know, maybe Derrick Henry, who was the year before, but I remember a couple seasons where your top three running backs are all 16, 17 guys, Henry, Cook, Kamara. You know, some years it was Zeke.
Where does Chubb fall in?
I think Chubb was the next year, right? 2018, I believe, with Barkley and with Kyler Murray, if I'm not mistaken.
May have been, yeah.
Or no, Kyler Murray wasn't that year. Kyler Murray would have been the Josh Jacobs year, my mistake. But yeah, I think with it was Chubb, Barkley, that happened, I think, at the same time as who would have been those quarterbacks? I don't even remember. Was that the Mahomes year? I don't know. Yeah. Jamie would know. The Cleveland connoisseur would know Chubb was a 2018 back. But yeah, Brian, is there anything else you want to say before we head out here?
No, I think we've given the listeners several good options for their rookie drafts, and they can always feel free to reach out to either one of us. So,
for sure. You can find us on Twitter. Brian's at VandyGrad92. I'm at SenraSez. Yeah, feel free to DM us. Gator J, also at Fantasy J77. So definitely check us out there. Of course, at Going for Two Live for you know, the account will tweet out all the great Going for Two live shows, you know, stuff like the Dynasty Saturday Night, which conveniently happens on a Saturday night, so everyone can know the scheduling well. Next week, next Thursday, for instance, we won't be on. We'll be on two Thursdays from now. So that'll be, I guess, June 1st. What a way to celebrate June 1st with a Dynasty Gambit in a couple weeks. But next Thursday, still come on the Going for Two Live Network, because Gladys will have the In No Particular Order show, where her and her sister Terry mock draft quite a lot of fun stuff. What were they drafting? Oh yeah, sitcoms. They're doing sitcoms, so they're gonna just mock draft a bunch of sitcom shows. I guess. One last thing I want to do was just share this QR code again, Brian. Underdog Fantasy. You can scan the QR code, use the promo code GF2, and of course, doing so when signing up for Underdog Fantasy will give you a double deposit match up to $100. And so, whenever you use the promo code or the QR code when signing up for your initial deposit into Underdog, they'll double whatever you put in. And again, you can use that on best ball drafts or pick 'em contests, selecting high or lower on player stats or point totals in different sports. And just a tons of great contests on Underdog Fantasy. And of course, goingfor2.com, your source for all sorts of fantasy football for redraft, dynasty, DFS, best ball. And the Going for Two Discord has tons of great channels and great content, great ways to connect with all your favorite Going for Two creators. So thank you, Jamie, for joining us. Tons in the chat, and thank you to everyone who's listened on the podcast. Any final thoughts, Brian, for the listeners?
No, just like you said, thanks to everybody that joined in. Hopefully you enjoyed the show, and Kyle's always got a lot of content going on, and I'm available on VandyGrad 92. So look out for either one of us.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for saying a great show. Jamie's always in the chats for all these live shows. He's super active in the Discord as well. So if you want access to all that, again, Discord / Going for Two. I think you can also access the Going for Two Discord through the Going for Two website, so goingfor2.com. He's saying great show as always. I agree, Brian. You did fantastic. I'm not sure about me, but I'll take it anyway.
Oh, Kyle, you know you're always good. You have a little more experience than me, but I'm actually joining another podcast for a one-timer next week, so excited about that.
All right, guest spots are always great. I know you do quite a lot of podcasting too, so you're good at this. Hopefully we did a good job for the listeners and viewers, and until next time, this is the Dynasty Gambit. Bye for now.